And now, the internationally recognized, critically acclaimed, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, we will be speaking with Rudy Canoza, the owner of Je T'aime Lingerie. And Rudy has some ideas for gift-giving, Christmas just being 48 hours away or thereabouts. Less than that, 24 plus 6, I don't know what it is. It's right around a corner. And he is going to be talking about the lingerie that he sells and the special added service that he provides, which is if you don't look good in lingerie, he'll be honest enough to tell you and offer you an alternative. Because after all, women buy lingerie to make the men in their lives happy. Well, what would make a man happier than a copy of Too Hot for the Box Part 3? So he has some of those at the cash register. So if he says to you, well, you know, you don't look too hot in that lingerie, but here, try this. Try giving him this. The guy sounds like a real... He doesn't sound like a gentleman, but we'll talk to him in a few minutes anyway on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I want to just ask you if you believe this. I read this to Wayne, and Wayne says he believes it, but he was also laughing. Now, this has got a happy ending, so please understand, we're not mocking anything that was tragic. This had a happy ending. An incredible and unsuspecting accident leaves a Utah Boy Scout. It says it leaves him inches from death. Actually, it left him, because he's okay now. An incredibly freak accident left a Utah Boy Scout inches from death when he was stabbed right between his eyes. Now, here's the story. Horrible sounding, but not really as gruesome as it sounds. This young man, Kevin Coitier, said it was a freak accident. While raking leaves for a Boy Scout event, one of the leaders of the Boy Scout troop flung a knife from his hand while trying to catch another scout who had tripped. Kevin said it was dark. It was like 8:30. There was a light, and I saw it flash before the knife hit me. Now, the blade landed in between his frontal lobes, which basically means it missed everything. Missed everything. It was 2 millimeters away from hitting a major blood vessel, but it went into the sinuses and so didn't hit anything important. And this young man is explaining this accident, talking to a television reporter and pointing to the x-rays. It was a freak accident. Few people can admit they've seen anything like it. A 1.5-inch blade through someone's skull. And this young guy, Kevin, says, you know, that's the best spot if you're going to have a knife in the head. So he said it wasn't painful, and he has the knife as a souvenir. Well, I got a problem. I don't believe it. Now, I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything, but I ain't buying it. And I think once the Utah County Sheriff looks into this, they're going to dig a few things up. Yeah, right. I was raking leaves and, ooh, ouch, I tried to help somebody, and I happened to be holding a knife, and then it just flew. Do you know how hard the human skull is? So that's just one of those, I bring it up, is this another example of, do you believe everything you read? Not everything you read is bullcrap. Not everything you read is calculated to be misleading. But sometimes it's these little stories they just throw at you as human interest, and you're supposed to go, oh, isn't that, oh, God, that's wonderful that he's alive. Oh, you know, and really what's happening here is something a little bit more nefarious. Like that guy, I'll never forget it as long as I live, and I'll never let it die. I will never let this story die. That dude that took his girlfriend out on the boat between Maui and that island. And then he comes back and tells the cops, yeah, she got bit by a shark and she bled to death, and then she fell in and I couldn't retrieve her. And so then I fell asleep in the boat, and then I called you guys, and oh, thank God I'm alive, and it was really terrible. And they haven't found a body, so they can't charge the guy, and they had to buy his baloney story. And that was like 6 years ago. So this guy, I think, is out scot-free and back at his freaking bagel stand in New Delhi or wherever the hell he's from. This cat came over to Hawaii with his girlfriend, with his fiance. Brand new, newly married. And they rent a boat, and they go out in the boat. Now, the rest of it is what he tells us what happened. The rest of it goes like this, according to him. Somehow, she got bit by a shark. Her arm got bit off or something. She was bleeding, and then during the night, and I'm quoting almost directly, she slipped into the water. And before he knew it, she had slipped away. And then, naturally, after your wife is horribly, horribly injured in a shark attack, bleeds to death, and then falls into the ocean, what do you do? Well, you fall asleep, don't you? Of course. That's what he did. He fell asleep, and the boat just happened to drift over and hit land. One of that little island, you know the island across from Maui where they do that naval attack? Yeah, the Navy shells it. They got goats. They don't give a crap about killing those goats. They murder goats. Oh, the Navy parks battleships. I think it's called, it's got that big long name. I don't know what it is.
Come on, I want to lay you.
What an idiot.
What?
Yeah, that's right, bud. It's called Come On, I Want to Lay You. Boy, that's the stupidest, oldest, lamest. Get out of here, man. Before someone kicks you so hard, your teeth will never be found.
What's wrong?
Anyway, it's a long name, and the Navy parks a battleship there every now and again, and they just start shelling it for practice. This is where this guy said after the she slipped quietly into the water after bleeding half to death, and the shark ate her arm, and now he's in this boat, and he's, you know, like, might as well get some shut-eye. I've just lost the one woman in the world that I love, but newly married, and she was horribly attacked, and I'd be freaking screaming. I'd jump out of the boat and start swimming. I'd probably kill myself. I'd probably say, wherever you are, shark, come get me too. I'd go into the water after the shark, knowing I'd die, but trying to get my licks in before I did, if you'll pardon the expression, lick. I'd go into that water and I'd say, okay, let's go. Come on. Come on, wherever you are. Come on, let's go. You know. No, this guy goes, he gets a little nap in, and then the boat just gently, whoop, right up onto the shore, and now he's stumbling around. It's daylight, and he's alive. She's dead. We don't know where she is. And because this island is a place that the Navy uses for its target practice, on the island are, every now and again, there are these, I guess, pillboxes or blockhouses of some kind with phones in them that the artillery spotters use or, you know, to communicate with the ship. He found one of these, used the phone, called some sort of an emergency line or was able to contact someone, and they came over and they got him. And the cops say, what happened? And he tells them this bullcrap story. And this dude was like, they were newlyweds from Sri Lanka. That was it. Wherever you are, man, I ain't buying it. I bet you you're over in Sri. How do I know? Maybe he got swept out to sea by that tsunami. I bet you he went over there and said, well, they bought that one in America. Now I think I'll open up that taco stand. Next thing you know, woo, tsunami hits. He's gone. And God has him now on a spit. Thank you. All right, so coming up, we will have our very good friend, Mr. Rudy Canoza. I say good friend, I qualify that. Sometimes he does some very unacceptable and antisocial things, but he's a decent guy. I also would like to mention that we have a flashback coming up by request. Did you give me that, Wayne? Here it is. I've got a flashback coming up tonight. Is this part of our Christmas flashbacks? This is a great one. Jay Santos believes that garage sales are magnets for pervs and creeps. I really liked that show because when Jay came on and started talking about it, I went, you know, the guy's kind of right. If you think about it, garage sales, you put a big sign out and it's on a main boulevard. It says garage sale with a big arrow. Every creep all of a sudden knows where you live. And what would a perv want? He wants to go down to the garage to see if there's little tiny kids running around in the garage. Oh, man. And I bet you those guys are all, hey, how you doing? Oh, real good. How are you? Oh, good. I just thought I'd look around. My wife wants some pot holders. That's your daughter? Yeah, very cute. And the next thing you know, oh, I don't even want to think about it. But we will play it back because it's funny. Yes, that's right. Perversion can be funny in just moments. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're going to get our flashback going here in just a moment. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And for those of you who were with us last evening and you were watching the webcast, I hope that you know you can pick that up anytime you'd like on our website, www.philhendryshow.com. If you missed the webcast, you can watch it on demand at www.philhendryshow.com. That's the webcast from... last night, we had a good time. I'm going to take a phone call and then do the flashback. Okay. RC, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Henry. Great show as always. I found out about the name of that island, what you were asking about. It's called Kahoolaway.
Oh, that's the island across from...
Yes, sir. It's across from Maui. It's used by the United States Navy. You are correct in that, sir, in artillery practice and shelling. And I wanted you to know that on account I did hear it. I'm at the Bradley Military Academy, so we're sort of interested in that.
You're going to be a soldier? Excuse me. I smoke too much.
Yeah, you got to watch that. Yes, sir, I want to be in the U.S. Army, but we do from time to time have contacts with the Navy. Mr. Andrew, I wanted to ask you a question, though, if I could.
Go ahead.
The map that I seen of Hawaii was made in 1837, and yet it looks pretty much like Hawaii, and I was wondering if you knew how they did that. What did they do to do that, you know?
How they made the map?
Oh, yes, sir. Absent of any aerial photography, how were they able to make those maps so good?
Well, cartography is the science of map making.
Hold on, I want to write that. Cartography. Yeah?
It's the science of map making. And I don't have any idea how it's done, but some of those maps you write are very precise.
Well, but how? I mean, I've seen a picture of Hawaii. It looks pretty much like what it looks like from outer space. Only they didn't go to outer space back then. It was 1837. Most of the people in Hawaii back then was cannibals. So you see, it's pretty weird.
Well, again, cartography is a very exact science, and most of the explorers and navigators from those days had cartographers with them, or if they didn't, they would take a...
What do you call it?
Huh?
What's the name of it?
Cartography.
Cartography. Let me write that down.
Cartography. It's the art of map making. It's the science of map making, I should say. The study of map making, I believe, graphy representing it was a science. Well, in any event. So, yeah, it's a very difficult thing. And
the other thing that I wanted to ask you, Mr. Hendry, I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Go ahead.
We were talking the other day. Do you know when mirrors were invented?
When mirrors were invented? I really don't know.
Okay. How did people know what they looked like before mirrors were invented? That's number one. But, yeah, I know you're going to say, well, you could see reflection in water. But, yeah, I mean, there wasn't always water around. So did they comb their hair? Or do you know anything about that?
Who combed? The people?
Well, if they didn't have mirrors, what if they had, like, a big nose hair hanging out? Well, I don't care. You know,
I guess if they didn't have mirrors, there's nothing they could do. I don't know. Understand the name.
Well, if there's no mirrors, then do you care if your hair is combed? And also, if you've got a nose hair that's been going for a couple of days, you know, how are you going to know? You're going to have to feel up. Oh, yeah, I better get up this morning and feel around to see if there's nose hairs, zits. I mean,
I don't know, man. Obviously, there was a different view toward self-image in those days. I mean, we've become obsessed with our images precisely because of that very thing you mentioned, a mirror. If we didn't know what we looked like...
Well, you're telling me we wouldn't care if we had a pretty large zit? That's pretty hard to imagine.
Well, I guess they didn't.
Well, what about teenagers back then? If a kid's got a date and he's got a boiler going on his chin...
Look at man, I don't know. If the kid's got a zit on his chin or a guy's got a nose hair, if they didn't have mirrors, I don't know what they did. I guess they didn't care. You know, the people barely bathed in those days. They stunk to high heaven. They wore clothing that weighed 68 pounds, so in the summertime, they'd sweat like pigs, smell like a freaking pig, and then go out and make lots of babies.
So you're trying to tell me that if a guy got naked with a girl and she smelled about 300 miles of country road, he wouldn't care? Yeah, sure. You know, I think it's very wrong of you.
What do you mean, 300 miles of country road? I'm talking about...
You're telling me that if a guy got together with a girl and she smelled like 300 miles of freaking road apple, you're...
Get out of here, kid.
You don't have the guts to answer my question.
I don't have any idea. Yeah, a guy got together with a chick in those days and she smelled like 300 yards of road apple. Whatever. How long is this flashback? Oh, 320. Okay, we're good. All right, here it is. Time now for our flashback by request from Mike Hathaway. It says, "Hi, Phil, could you please play a Jay Santos flashback for me that I heard either last spring or the spring before? Jay was cruising the neighborhoods looking for garage sales because creeps would have them just to get their cheap kicks looking at kids and women. Thanks, Mike Hathaway." I think it was actually a spring and a half ago, Mike. And with a spring in our step, Mike, here it is. Jay Santos and the garage sales.
My heart is beating so fast. I'm just sickened by what I hear. You know, I have had garage sales. I've grown up on garage sales, and I attend them all the time because, I mean, it's a great way to save money on kids' toys. And I just think that's really going on the deep end of crime, really. I mean, the garage sales are early on a Saturday morning, and you get to know your neighbors, and I think it's kind of a community thing.
I think there's a lot of positive aspects what you're saying, ma'am, but unfortunately what the garage sale does represent as well, since a lot of these signs are posted not only on postings outside the neighborhood, you also have these ads that are placed in newspapers, recycler, and what have you. They are automatic attractions to individuals who might want a case house for burglary. These perverts that want to come and take a little kid who's running around in his underwear, what have you. And so while the garage sale person who's having it may have the best of intentions, as I said, the road to hell is paved with good intention.
But what is this world coming to? I mean, you can't let your kid go to the park. You can't have a garage sale. I mean,
well,
not
that's,
everyone
that's where
in the world
that's,
is bad.
That's
I mean,
how I feel about it.
These are families and children and... You know, that's
Mammy,
what
do
I
you have
mean.
Any idea of the danger that exists? You're putting your children in danger when strangers are allowed onto your property to pick through your underwear or whatever it is you got out there. You might as well unlock your kid's window.
I have never had a suspicious-looking person. I've mostly seen mothers and kids and just family people and neighbors.
Well,
and
as we found out at 9/11, and too late, in fact, suspicious-looking people may not necessarily be the ones that we should target. 9/11, I think, taught us something very clearly, that the people that perpetrated the 9/11 crashings of the buildings and all of this nonsense were, in fact, young, well-scrubbed, good-looking young men who you would have invited into your home to have a beer and all the night.
Their sights are a little higher than, a small three-bedroom home having a garage sale. I mean...
If that small three-bedroom home has a little tiny child in it, some pervert wants to get his hands on. I tell you right there, he's just found himself a big fat fish in a pond.
Well, the world, no, you have to be aware wherever you go, whatever you do.
If
and you don't invite these people to come in and use your restroom.
Well, of course you do not. But as I said, we observed a man picking up a tricycle. Can you imagine a guy picking up a tricycle trying to sniff the seat? This is kind of a deal. And this is happening in your neighborhood.
Well, again, I don't know whether you saw him trying to sniff a tricycle seat or whether he was...
That's gross and disgusting.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm not going to sit for it in my neighborhood. And there's an old saying...
You know what? I don't think they do that at an early Saturday morning at a garage sale in front of a whole street of mothers and their children. Because you know what? We are like lions. And if we saw any pervert weirdo coming up and doing
that,
they would
run for it. You ought to be in the business that I'm in, ma'am. Because as a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police, I've seen a lot of sickness.
Well, that lady was going off the deep end there for a second. 1-800-449.
I can feel. Let me just jump in. I can understand her concern. But I can tell you right now, she's sitting there and she's telling people, oh, yeah, those shot glasses are only 50 cents, and that's a really nice can opener. Me, I got some guy who's got his face pressed right into some tricycle seat. No, thank you.
You know, and I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, God, can you imagine that? And then I realized I made all of that up. I mean, you really know you're losing it when you're listening to flashbacks from your own show. You go, can you imagine? That is just disgusting that a guy would. I'm going, what the hell am I talking about, man? It just came right out of my sick, twisted head. Sick and twisted. Pardon me. You've caught me mid-mouthful.
Oh, that sounds so queer.
Yeah, I know. It would to you, man. Mid-mouthful of some chocolate. By the way, I want to say at this particular time, Billy St. John is a terrific actor. He's a good character actor. Billy also listens to our show. And if you want to know who Billy is, he was in Mr. Deeds. Funny freaking guy. And a lot of flicks. And he always sends us Billy's nuts. And I'm going to tell you something right now. They are tremendous. Billy's nuts, what they are is they are almonds that he somehow, he cooks them in butter, but I don't want to say fries them in butter. He does something with butter and almonds. It's the most incredible thing you've ever tasted in your life. And he sends these almond slivers to us, and he just sends us just enough to whet our appetite. If he cared, if he truly cared, he'd send us a lot. But he just sends us just enough so that I eat the whole bag myself, and I don't share any with anybody, because there's no way I'm going to when there's only that little tiny bag's worth. If I had more, Billy, I could share them with people. See, that's where you blow it. You think by sending me just a little tight little bag like that, you think you're saving dough. I could spread the word on Billy's nuts. And when you've had Billy's nuts in your mouth, you will never, ever put another nut in your mouth. I'm telling you. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We will have Rudy Canoza with us in moments. Mr. Canoza, the owner of Jetem Lingerie. Ted Bell is with us. Ted?
Phil, I've got a little bit of a problem, and I asked Bud Dickman to contact David G. Hall.
What's going on, Bud?
You want to talk, Mr. Hall?
I've got a little bit of a problem. I heard you mentioning another individual's product, and that's fine. But I heard you use a phrase that I have been prohibited from using in the advertisements for my restaurant on your program, so I don't understand.
I got him on that. Well,
hold on for a minute. David?
Yeah, it's David Hall. What's going on?
Mr. Hall, this is Ted Bell.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Henry, just moments ago on the program, and I'm sorry to have to deal with this now, mentioned a gentleman by the name of Billy St. John.
I don't know.
Billy St. John's an actor, David, that listens to our show and makes these almonds every Christmas.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mr. Henry was talking about when you, and he used this phrase, and I want to be very clear, he used the phrase, when you have Billy's nuts in your mouth.
Okay.
All right, now, I was told that I was no longer allowed to use in advertising Ted to Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Is that right?
That's correct. Because of the, we feel that it is a little suggestive. I don't think the FCC is.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but why does Henry get to use Billy's nuts go in my mouth?
I didn't say that.
What'd you say?
I didn't.
He said Billy's nuts go in my mouth.
I said. Now hold on for a minute.
What are you doing, Henry?
Hold on for a minute. Mr. St. John, every Christmas, sends us a bag of delicious almonds.
Get past the plug and tell me what...
I'm not plugging. I'm giving you an idea leading up to this, okay?
All right.
Well, you said I last night I had Billy's nuts in my mouth.
I did not say that. I said Billy's... And he calls them Billy's nuts.
What are they?
They're almonds, and he makes them special for Christmas, and they're delicious. They really are.
Are those almonds that you had on your desk last year?
Yeah, the ones that are in butter.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah. So anyway, I said Billy's nuts. You ought to get Billy's nuts in your mouth. That's what I was talking about. The almonds.
Well, you know, see, Mr. Bell, he's talking about the almonds.
Oh, come on. You know, you're telling me that I'm not allowed to...
Look at Bell. I've had you on our radio show.
Who are you calling Bell?
I'm calling you Bell. Is that your name, Bell?
My name is Ted Bell. No one ever calls me Bell.
Look, Bell. I've had you on my radio station and on my radio shows, and you're advertising for a long time. Now, Mr. Henry was doing an entirely very innocent pitch for a gift that a listener sends to him. He's not trying to be suggestive like you are, Bell, with that restaurant.
Who are you calling Bell? If you call me Bell one more time, well, guess what? I've got a McLaren SLR, 600 horse. I can be at your house within minutes.
Oh, well, the light screen. Have at it. I'll be sitting here in my underwear, man. I'm watching wrestling.
Is that right? Well, guess what? I'll have that underwear off and tied in your... And you'll be gagged with it. You guys...
Hold on. What is the argument?
The argument, Phil, is very, very clearly this. For 25 years, Ted to Beverly Hills has had as its advertising...
Look at him. He's all nervous and tongue-tied. You know something, Bell? You're always late with your payments. You never pay on time.
I'm not... Oh, boy, you are dancing now with a slander suit. You are not only dancing with it, you're doing a full twist. You are doing the Watusi with a slander suit.
Fine. I'll Watusi with slander suits all night long. But the fact is, you pay late on your advertising. Now, I let you sponsor part of Phil's show, but I will not have that filthy phrase, I want to put my meat in your mouth, or whatever that thing is.
It's about the steak that I serve at my restaurant. And
look, can I jump in?
What?
Go ahead.
I don't think Ted's slogan is offensive either. I don't think it's any more offensive than me saying Billy's nuts. You should put Billy's nuts in your mouth. I mean, they're both about the food.
That's exactly right, Phil. Thank you. But because of the filthy, twisted brain of your program director, because this guy gets out of bed in the morning waiting to sink his brain into another swamp of filth, he...
Hey, what? You know something, Bell? You got a big... Big pair on you. You got a bigger pair than Billy's nuts. To say that...
Would you guys please, because now what you're doing is it's becoming innuendo, after double entendre, after double entendre, all right?
I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell your listeners this. Ted Bell is a great guy. I'm glad you've been on the show. But Ted, I've had it with you and your belly aching and your demands. Why don't you start paying on time, you cheap skinflint creep?
That's it. You called Ted Bell. Boy, I'll tell you, you called me Bell. Now you called me cheap. Buddy, I've got a libel suit that is going to be delivered. It's going to be dropped right in your big, fat lap. If we can get it in your lap, we may have to drop it on the floor because there's no room in your lap. Your stomach covers all of it. Good day to you, sir.
What a pussy.
Hey, Billy, thanks for the nuts. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I want to also mention that we have a place that we like to visit. When you're here in the Los Angeles area, if you come out and you want to, I don't know, you want to come out here, may I recommend a place that's very neighborhood-like? It's very typically L.A. It's a good place, good hot dog place. It's right down the street from where we work. It's called Ruben's Red Hots. Now, is he paying me to make this announcement? No. Am I getting food for free? No. Is he a sponsor? Hell no. He's just a nice guy. He makes a damn good hot dog. And his hot dog stand's getting screwed around because they're doing construction here on the 405 freeway. I don't have any idea what they're doing. And I'm not trying to say that you guys aren't doing a good job at Caltrans. I'm not saying that, God forbid. Because if you do, what happens is, oh, you don't have any idea of what those men put up with. Well, I am sure that I don't. You have no idea. And they're doing the best they can with the budget that they've got. I know. I'm just a schmuck caught at it every day. I know. All I'm telling you is this. The construction that's happening on the 405 freeway, this new on-ramp or off-ramp or whatever the hell that's going to be, I got no idea what it is. It used to be an on-ramp. That's what that I do know. Now I don't know what it is. The guy that owns Ruben's Red Hots, I'm talking to the guy, it's a hell of a nice guy and makes one hell of a good hot dog. Have you ever been up there, Harry? It's Chicago style. What do you think? Any good? It's okay?
Yeah, they're pretty darn good.
Yeah, they got the Polish dog. They got the Red Hots, everything. So anyway, because Harry's from Chicago, so he knows. I ain't just making it up. So one of the guys says to me, and naturally, because it's a damn good Polish hot dog and it's from Chicago, the man who owns the place, you got it, Korean. Now then... Well, he is, and he's a hell of a nice guy. He says, Phil, I don't know what to say. Business so bad. Well, what's going on, man? This freeway is killing me. It's just murdering me, man. I'm all in a heap. I said, well, look, your lunch business is good. Oh, yeah, lunch business good. Because I said, don't you get business from around the, you know, oh, yeah, lunch business good. But my walk-up business suck. It suck a cage full of chimp. I said, well, look, what do you want me? I said, I it's a hell of a great hot dog, man. I go down, I get maybe five or six a week. No, I don't. I get maybe one a week. He says, he didn't ask me for anything. He says, you're just a good guy. I'm glad you'll still come here. I said, yeah, hell yeah, I'll come here. Are you nuts? I'll come here because I ain't walking. I'm driving. Because after I have a couple of your hot dogs, I'll never walk again. Oh, they're good. Oh, God, are they good. A big spicy dog with the kraut, the whole deal, baby. Whatever happened to people liking hot dogs? No, you want to know why? Because now everything's a phallic symbol. That's why. You can't even say you like hot dogs without somebody thinking, you know, you're riding a little light in the stern of the boat. You can't say you like hot dogs without someone saying, oh, really? Table for two? You know, I mean, look, my kids... Well, I'll go down to McDonald's and have a hamburger. What do you mean a hot dog? A hot dog? A freaking hot dog? Well, no, I don't really like... Well, what's not to like, man? Well, I just like hamburgers. I don't like hot dogs. What? I know they make it out of, like, all the worst parts of the cow. Is that it? What, do you think hamburger meat's any better? Yeah, guess again, friend. I bet you a lot of people think that hamburger meat is, like, far higher quality than hot dog meat. Oh, really? You know, the meat they grind up to make into a hot dog, all they do is just grind it up and put a little red dye in it, and they call it hamburger. I'm very upset about this. I'm very upset. Someone's going to die. Paul Harvey? Good day. Page 2. Had a wonderful hot dog the other day. Tasted real good. Went down with comb over boy. And the comb took an entire hot dog and shoved it all into his mouth, all 18 inches. Paul Harvey. D. You got to change it up, man. When you say, hey, Paul, when you say, I think Paul Harvey's great. Any cat that signs a contract for 10 more years at the age of 80 for what was it, Harry? It was 100 million? It's 100.
I think it was 10.
It's 10 million a year.
Million a year.
It's 10 million a year at the age of 80, dude. He's got a 10-year deal with ABC. Now, that's a company that takes care of its people. I'll tell you what, they know what they get. Paul Harvey, for whatever, I like the guy because the cat's kind of offbeat. He's nuts. You know, he's a kooky cat. He goes in with the tie and he just sits there. But he's like, for real, he's not like that Charles Osgood, who's boring as hell. You know, those little three-minute guys, those cats that are old school. Like Osgood, I can't understand what he's talking about.
I'm Charles Osgood, and this is the Osgood Minute.
Yeah, what? You can call it the Osgood Minute. You could call it the Henry Minute. It still sucks. But then you got Harvey. He's interesting. I don't know. He says, page two. Every time he says page two, he sounds like he's had a couple. Page two. And then it's the Bose Wave Machine. That guy glides in and out of commercials. Everybody who's in the business ought to learn from him. You don't know what you're all of a sudden. You're in a commercial, and you're fascinated with it. Mrs. Joe Spiegel from Keokuka, Iowa writes, Paul, I thought you were so full of crap your eyes were brown when you said that the Bose Wave Machine would make you potent. Well, I tried it last night, and the wife and I will never be without it again. Try the Bose Wave Machine. Page one. A man down in Houston, Texas, by the name of Phil Johnson, had a great idea. He's sick and tired of these pinko beatnik bums beating up on the country, so he decided to go to his neighbor's house, a man by the name of John Philogosian. He's a long-haired hippie beatnik. Well, he sprinkled some gasoline around the house and set fire to it and burned everybody alive. Paul Harvey. I think the guy's tremendous. God almighty, 100 million for 10 more years. That means the cat's set until he's 90, dude. That's the way to live. How you doing, Wayne? Wayne's in today, man. Wayne's also a filmmaker. He's going to make a documentary on this show, maybe. No, well, I mean, I want him to, but, you know, Wayne's the only guy who can do it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we've got Rudy Canoza talking about his Je T'aime lingerie and who he won't sell lingerie to. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We got Rudy Canoza coming up in a few minutes here on the Phil Henry Show. I've got some email that I wanted to read. One of them is from Katie Ward in Jacksonville, and she says, Phil, I can't remember if I already sent you this picture or if I was just intending to and never got around to it, so I'm sending it now, and you can disregard all this if you've already seen it. I'm already a proud member of your wall of female listeners in my 2004 Halloween angel costume, but I wanted to pass along a photo in my 2005 custom-made Henry cheerleader costume. Everyone who's seen it has had one of two reactions, either, who's Henry, since you're not on in Jacksonville, or, badass, Phil is very funny. I love the show. I always will, no matter what people say about me. And I don't care what you think either, Phil. I love you. I love you. Oh, God, how I love you. Katie Ward, Jacksonville, Florida. And then she has a picture here. This is a cute picture of you, Katie. I like it better than the angel costume. This is a solidly cute picture of you, baby. You know, baby? It's very, very cool. It's a Henry cheerleader thing. Is that wild? Is that kind of weird? Or no, I don't think it is. I think it's all right. I'd invite you. You can come see us, I guess. No, it's fine, Katie. So she's walking around with this Henry cheerleader costume. That's pretty cool. There's only one other thing that you could do for me, Katie, and then, well, then you'll be invited to drinks. I want you, Katie, to put a sign on the top of your house. Katie, listen to me. I'm talking to you. Put a sign that says Henry so that it can be seen from a satellite. If it turns up on Google satellite search, you win a washer-dryer. All right, now the next one here is from April. We spoke to April last night. We also asked her for a nude picture. We asked her for a photograph. And April, thank you. April writes, Phil, I wanted to thank you for taking my call on your show. It was good to talk to you. I didn't hear correctly when you asked me what the grapevine section of Playboy was. I thought you asked which one. The grapevine section is where they put the photos that they get of celebrities with their books, with their boobs popping out and such. It's cool. They also have one other photo of a girl that's on her way up, I guess you can say, and that was me. Oh, that's cool. So they got a picture of April in there because she's on her way up, or on her way out, if you've seen these pictures, because they're definitely popping out. Paul Harvey! I'm kidding. So anyway, I've attached scans of the pages of the Grapevine section. I scanned both so you can get the idea of what it is. I'm on the second page right underneath the awful picture of Britney Spears that makes her look like truly the cow she is. I'm kidding. She didn't write that. She did not write that. I'll have to bring you a copy of it when I go to L.A. at the end of February. I'll keep in touch with you about the dates. I also want to get, anyway, that part we don't have to read. April, thank you very much for your photographs. One of them here is very tastefully done. She's laying there with a dog, and that's about it. And then there's another one. Speaking of cheerleaders, I will say, Kate, you're a very beautiful girl, but you'd have to go a long way to beat this one of April in her cheerleader outfit. Why? No top. And here's another one of April in her cheerleader outfit. Better than yours, Katie. Why? No underwear. And finally, no, it's both your pictures are cool. Thank you. And I like that picture a lot, Katie. You look really beautiful in this cheerleader outfit as opposed to the angel outfit, which was cool. But a little psychotic. Okay. See how I do it? And no wonder my wife can't stand me. See how I do it, man? I just move right into women's lives, and then they go, what was I thinking? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Rudy Canoza, as we're going out, I'm looking at Greta Van Susteren in a jet. What, no missing people this week, Greta? Isn't there somebody's body turning up in a river somewhere? Now you're with the blue freaking angels? Or is it just too depressing because it's Christmas time, huh? Forget it. She can't hear me.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.